Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. It's Friday, March 30th, 2007, and it is 11 p.m. here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. I am thrilled that you're here. It's Friday. I'm thrilled that I'm here, actually, which is always a fun thing to be here on a Friday because I know I won't be here tomorrow. Not that I don't love the show, but I do like sort of sleeping at a normal time. So we've had some bizarre weather around here in Northwest Arkansas. Nothing new, honestly, and certainly nothing new as the global warming hype continues. There's more shenanigans about that, but we're not going to talk about that tonight. But just in case you have not been paying attention, I guess it was Wednesday night, 65 tornadoes tore through six states. That would be, let's see, I've got the list here. Quite a few. Let's just leave it at that. Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, Texas, Colorado, and Oklahoma. So 65 tornadoes there. It's not even really tornado season. There's not really a tornado season necessarily, but there is certainly times when these things are more likely than not. We're actually under a tornado watch, I believe. I can never remember the difference. Tornado watch, tornado warning. But what are you saying? Okay. You're under tornado. Tornado warning or tornado watch? Okay. Tornado watch in Central Texas till 1 a.m. So which one's which? Which is the warning? Which is the watch? The watch means that conditions are right for a tornado, correct? You don't have any idea either. Yeah, you can come on the air.
All right.
Come on the air and display your lunacy for all of us.
All right, I'll display my idiocies. All right. Basically, a tornado warning means that tornadoes have been spotted and that people need to be careful. A watch is like basically
like everybody
be careful,
watch
out,
because conditions
watch the sky, there may be a tornado coming.
All right,
warning means that one has been seen.
Okay, so which one are you guys in?
We are actually in a tornado warning.
You're in the warning. Okay.
They had a tornado earlier today right outside of Wimberley, which is roughly about 20, 30 minutes south of Austin.
Okay. So needless to say, things could get nasty there. So if we go off the air, it's because of some tornado has annihilated Republic Broadcasting Network. Is that basically what you're saying?
Dear God, no.
Go with it. Go with it, Thomas, because that means that
it's... It means a tornado picked us all up, and I've gone to pastures where radio can no longer get...
That's right. It has nothing to do with operator error. So you could basically screw something up, just perfectly screw it all up tonight and blame it on a tornado.
I sure can, yeah.
And nobody would know any different. And also, of course, you and I could collaborate during a break and decide that we want to start our weekend early and just pretend that a tornado hit.
Yeah, oops, a tornado hit. Oh, my gosh. No, it's not.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
All right, get off my show. Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, he will be the gentleman handling all of the phone calls this evening that come into the show. You can call him, of course, and chat with him. But I would not encourage that because his lunacy is contagious. 800-313-9443 is the phone number to call in. I'd like to welcome all of you listening via shortwave at frequency 3.215. I'd like to welcome all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Or perhaps you're listening on our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. If you have been surfing around our website, you'll see there are some articles and whatnot there from one of our guests. Our guests will be joining us here when we come back from the break, and I'm very excited to have him here. He's talked on the show about a great many things, including weather, so we may pick his brain on that a little bit, may pick his brain on a few other things as well, but certainly very, very excited to have him here. But a lot of tornadoes, so folks, if you're out there, be careful. Keep in mind the same way that bread and milk does not melt ice and snow, nor does it also stave off tornadoes. And if you're in some states like South Carolina and especially Georgia, well, you guys are getting pounded by pollen these days, so stay on top of that and be aware. Of course, anytime there's a lot of pollen coating your vehicles, you may not pay attention to anything else on your vehicle, like the remnants of a chemtrail, for example. Just a little caveat there. Stay with us. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. And yes, it's Friday at long last. It'll be Saturday soon, which is also good. Of course, we'll still be here for the required 4 hours because we have a lot to do. Now, yesterday, if you recall, maybe you heard the show. If you did not, we did 4 straight hours of just news stories. News stories, analysis, opinion, things like that. It was a lot of fun, and we don't do it all the time. And we're not doing it tonight, at least not for 4 hours. But we do have our guest with us, and I'm very excited that he has stayed up late to be with us here this evening. He is the author of the phenomenal must-have book entitled What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. He has 2 websites. One is dataforscience.net, which is a great sort of open-source community research group that does, a great many things, which we'll let him give you in far greater detail than I could come up with. And then also bookonmars.info, which is obviously the best way to get a feel for what this book is about. Now, these pictures that are in this book, What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars, are straight from NASA. It's from their own work, folks, and that's why you can see how important this is, because I think that because of what Ted Tweetmeyer has done with this book and his many articles and all of his evidence, He's changing the way that NASA is operating. They are now, of course, censoring these images before the public can see them. But, you know, before that time, all the way back, about a year ago, I guess, you know, these things were available. And they are all here on his book, which I would encourage all of you to pick up. It's very, very, very enlightening, and it will change the way you think about Mars and the way you think about NASA, that's for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, author, researcher, speaker, and good friend, Ted Sweetmeyer, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a distinct pleasure, of course, to have you here with us this evening. I know it's late where you are, and I appreciate you making time for us tonight.
Well, thank you. I think we'll have some interesting discussions tonight.
I would anticipate such. Well, obviously, I'm a big fan of your work. I'm a big fan of your interviews. You just have so much captivating information. Give us, if you would, just a little thumbnail sketch of your background so people know where you're coming from.
Well, my background goes back, a few decades, I guess. I show my age here. Into more than two decades of defense-related work and involving DOD and NASA and some of the other
alphabet agencies.
Yeah, alphabet soup folks.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're quite different than the way they're portrayed on any kind of TV movie or, you know, whatever. It's working with them is a real interesting experience, if not sometimes entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing here is that there's a lot of things they don't tell us. And if you hear they're going to be developing something, well, they've already done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just now, by saying we're going to do this or do that, they're basically just, it's a way of releasing formerly classified information into the public domain.
Right.
By doing that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, gauging their response as well at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes they let information out to observe and see just how people are going to react, you know, to sort of like psychological testing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's some websites on the web like that where they play little mind games with people. Mm-hmm. To see how they'll, you know, respond.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up, because I remember, I believe it was back in 2003, and you probably were paying attention to this as well. There was some talk of an asteroid that was going to be impacting the Earth, and it was going to cause huge tidal waves. And everybody was saying, okay, the Navy has pulled all their fleets out of this area, and the United States is preparing for a giant tsunami, the likes of which we've never seen. And this all came from a sort of inadvertent code transmission that had been picked up and posted on the Internet. Anyway, this went on for a few months, a lot of information coming out, and I thought it was very interesting, especially given the fact that, you know, the federal government, in conjunction with the Australian government, does have a project for planetary defense entitled Project Wormwood, which, of course, you know, relating to the Bible, and they actually have the passage on their website from Revelation about Wormwood, which is a heavenly body that actually does impact with the Earth in the Bible. So that means that this this planetary defense organization is not actually planning on defending anything. In my mind, they're setting it up to fail just by the name alone. Just tells you that it's going to happen, so we're just going to be aware of it, and we're going to run and hide and do whatever we need to do. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that the aftermath of all that, back in, like I said, 2003, 2004, there was a posting that basically was supposedly from some federal agency saying that they were admitting that they had floated this whole thing out there as a rumor to find out, you know, how fast it would travel, how seriously people would take it, and so on and so forth. And I was stunned by that. It was an amazing bit of truth, if it is true.
Yeah, and here's another aspect of the whole asteroid chasing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the way they plot asteroids, obviously can't see these things. They're just big, dark, huge boulders to, you know, mountain-sized objects out there.
Mm-hmm.
The way they plot them is by them blocking out stars and over a period of, you know, weeks and months, they look at what stars are missing, you know, and then they say, okay, you know, there's an object out there blocking it. The only problem is you can't see one coming straight at you.
Mm.
You know, and if you didn't have a radar dish aimed at exactly I mean a deep space dish or a real high-powered one, at exactly the right point in space, you'd never find it.
Wow.
So, I mean, that'd be like the proverbial needle in a haystack, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, in essence, we're virtually blind in a lot of areas.
Yeah, we are. I mean, there's certainly a lot of astronomers making a very sincere and well-meaning effort, but in the long run, my guess is it'll probably be the one you can't see coming that's going to hit, and there'll be no warning. Yeah, what's curious is years ago, I forgot exactly which year, I know it was in the 90s anyway, that one astronomer did announce that there was an impactor coming, an extinction-level type event.
Yeah.
Okay, and it turned out to be false. Well, then they said, well, we're going to have a clearinghouse now for all this information. You know, and just like the Egyptian Antiquities group in Cairo, better, you know, if you find something from minor to major consequence in a pyramid or in a monument, and if you like Gant and Brinke and just go straight to the press with it, you'll be forever banned. You know, and we have a similar thing with astronomy. You know, the Gantenbrink door in the pyramid caused him to get kicked out of Egypt because he didn't go through Zawi Hawass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was a bad move. I mean, he was the godfather of antiquities, and he bypassed him. So, you know, again, we have this asteroid clearinghouse. And it, really, what are you going to do? You know, if a mountain-sized asteroid hits an ocean, it won't really matter where you put your ships. They're going to be destroyed no matter where you put them.
Yeah.
You'll find an aircraft carrier sitting in the Rockies or something silly. And a bunch of guys standing around when the water's gone, scratching their heads. How are we going to get this out of here?
Anything's likely these days. But I do think it's intriguing because, you know, you've got the space shuttle blowing up. You know, back in, I guess it was 2003.
Oh, that was outrageous.
What's that?
That was outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, and we've done some things on that and heard some interesting things that may have been a response by the U.S. government using HAARP in order to knock an ICBM out of the sky as sort of a test thing that North Korea had done to say, you know, can they pinpoint specifically with HAARP to knock the missiles out, or is it a broad thing? In which case, if it were a broad thing, it would have targeted the shuttle. And I had remembered actually seeing photographs of the space shuttle with this sort of bluish-purplish lightning around it. Did you ever see that?
I believe it was a man in Australia took those photos.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them since.
He was the only one that was able to capture those images. And you're right. I mean, it only lasted for a short time. But it was pretty incredible. But and in fact, it was seen in broad daylight. There was a tremendous amount of power involved for it to be brighter than the sunlight. I mean, you think about that. We're talking probably gigawatts of power here to be brighter than sunlight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, if it was at night, that's different. But to see this, it was like a blue arc. It kind of curled halfway around it, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. I haven't seen the picture since, but it might be worth looking into to try to dig those up because I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're censored or whatever the case may be. But it's really fascinating. But what I was getting at is, you know, so you have that happen, and then, you know, Bush basically comes out and says, we're going to, not only are we going to continue the space program, but we're going to go to the moon again, and we're going to go to Mars. So, you know, it makes you start to wonder. It would almost seem like they might be sort of plotting this, escape route off the planet in case there is some sort of, Planet X extinction level event, asteroid impact, something along those lines. And I just wonder your thoughts on all that.
Well, they've established alternatives 1 and 2, and I understand there's even a 3, that are actually off-world bases. And they used technology back some 50 years ago to get there, not rocket technology, but disc technology, something which the Nazis had pretty much perfected.
Yes. Let me jump in here quickly, my friend. Folks, I'm sorry. We have to take a quick 3-minute break. We're back with more after this.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Good evening. Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. Joining us on the program is our good friend Ted Tweetmeyer, the author of the amazing book, What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. His website's dataforscience.net. And bookonmars.info. Welcome to the program, sir.
Yes, we're here.
We are here, and I appreciate you being here. When we left off, you were just talking about the Nazi disc technologies, the sort of gravity-defying flying saucers sort of thing that they had going on. We've done some shows on that, of course, and it's amazing stuff.
Yes, it is, and it goes back, I guess you could say, about 70 years now, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm. And now just imagine how far it's advanced since then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it would be like a calculator would, you know, would be to Da Vinci, you know?
It's a good point.
So
in essence, you're saying there already are bases, like a secondary space program and whatnot.
Oh, yes, there is. And there's other space stations up there, too.
Mm.
You know, we're engaged in this now, not quite as dramatic as the Men in Black movie portrays, mm-hmm. but we're engaged in a, I guess you could almost call it a battle of sovereignty for Earth,
mm.
you know, and this has been going on for an extremely long time. And you know, we think of Earth as ours. You know, this belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we know that? We really don't know that, do we?
Mm-hmm. No. Not
really. I mean, there have been abductees, and, you know, one woman said to her abductor, says, you don't have any right to do this. And the being looked at her and said, we have every right. So the question is, where did they get their rights from?
Yeah.
You know, and is there a governance out there that we don't necessarily fully understand or grasp? Mm. You know, I think that's a something that we have to consider,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
That we don't have all the documents, all the answers on what's really going on.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. And obviously, you know, there are very, very, very obvious now, I suppose, obvious to me and to you and to people out there who are, you know, privy to your research and to the work of others, that they've obviously tried to keep a great many things from us, including finding, discovering different artifacts, different sort of anomalies on other planets like Mars and presumably the Moon and other things as well. I mean, we've heard the stories and you've written the book on this, so it's phenomenal. And it's very, very important that people understand these things. This book is available, of course, in a CD-ROM flipbook form, which is really fantastic, convenient, and easy to use and fun, too, because you can zoom in on all the photographs, which obviously I don't have it right in front of me because it's a CD-ROM, but I do have a printed-out version, the first version that you had sent to me, and it's really fantastic, Ted. You got so much in here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we made it possible to not only just click on pictures and have them pretty much fill up your whole computer screen,
mm-hmm.
but also we have the original pictures in the back of the book, which is well over, I forgot the number, 200-something images.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about probably somewhere around 300 or 400 images, because many times there's a number of them on one page. I mean, it's packed with the documentation to back up what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not talking about it. They won't talk about it, you know.
How many pictures did you have to look through in the course of putting this together?
I think it's probably 25,000, maybe. I was seeing it in my sleep. I mean, I reached a point where I literally felt like I had been there. Mm-hmm. I had seen so many images up close, far away, you know, of different lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, gosh, it was almost like being there to do this. And it went on, took me months to plow through these things.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the images are actually not even of any interest. Sometimes they're just pointed at the sundial, or they're just a black circle, or, you know, there are thousands of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I'm not even sure why a lot of them were taken. But I did find a couple instances of duplications where I, you know, you kind of get a mental record of it, and lo and behold, you find, I think in one case it was like 3 weeks later, I found the same image again.
Hmm.
Now, wait a minute, how could that be? It didn't backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go back there. Yeah, you know, it was going forward, but there's just so many oddities about it. I mean, I published it in this form to make it affordable to everybody, because if, you know, if this was in picture book form, well, this book would probably cost, you know, probably $60 or $80.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked into publishing it in printed form,
mm-hmm.
and the costs were outrageous. And I thought, well, heck, everybody has a computer now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is far more flexible, and it puts it within everyone's grasp. And we've got a special going right now where we've taken a pretty good percentage off the price of it for people that sign up to be a volunteer. They can purchase the book.
Hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, so we've got that going on. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. What's the price?
It's like $3 or $4 off the $9.99 price.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it's well worth it. I would easily pay, you know, two or three times you know, what you're charging for this book, because it is so fantastic and there's so much information within it. Folks, stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, halfway through hour number one already. Our special guest this evening, author, researcher, Ted Tweetmeyer. Welcome back, sir.
Yes, we're here.
All right. Hey, you know, I think that the important point to mention is that your book proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are things that NASA has lied to us about, that they've been deceptive about, that they have found things, they have found anomalies, they have found things that can't be explained. And every time I see a press conference where NASA's about to make an announcement, they make an announcement such as, we have exciting news. We found water on Mars 55,000 years ago. And they just, you know, it's like, why do I waste my time with this? They have so many things they could announce, and they never do it.
I got to tell you, I am so sickened by that cover story. It just makes me nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Gusev Crater, right, which is where a large amount of my research went, and Gusev Crater is 90 miles across. I mean, that's Lake Ontario is only 60 miles long.
Wow.
I mean, the thing is huge. And they claim it was filled with water. Well, from everything I saw, there were buildings there. There was a civilization in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are explosion marks on the rocks going up the crater, and it you can see where they end, mm-hmm. where the blackening ends. This thing was just totally demolished, this whole civilization. And they had columns on the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can see vestiges of their architecture, and one of them is similar in a way to a Corinthian column.
It's, mm-hmm.
And you say to yourself, wow. It's a lot like what's on Earth.
Yeah.
How did that get here? You know, and mm-hmm. when was that brought here? You know, and it would make sense that if there was a race that was on that planet and their planet became uninhabitable, at least on the surface, then maybe they would go to the nearest neighbor that had lots of water and lots of greenery.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it sure would. And a very long time ago, and to ancient peoples, they'd certainly appear as gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would say, wow, look at that. They descended from the heavens in a chariot and so forth. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's starting to come together, but this whole thing is highly contradictory
mm-hmm.
to mainstream religion, you know, to history, to everything that we've been taught in school.
Yeah.
You know, it would demolish the entire foundations. History books would have to be thrown in the trash, you know. I mean, it would revolutionize everything. So I guess they figured, well, it's just better to keep the sheep in the dark.
That's just amazing to me, even as a concept, you know, the idea of saying, hey, we've got something that would completely change the way everybody lives. It would change the way everybody feels and things. I don't think it would be a negative thing at all. But of course, it would
be... Hector, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But there'd be a certain amount of almost pride there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
It'd be a good thing. I don't see the problem with it. But then again, I'm not most people. Most people are happy to be in the dark, and most people are happy to be lied to, and most people are happy with a comfortable version of the truth rather than the truth itself.
And what's the agenda, Frank? What's the agenda?
Behind...
The overall agenda in society worldwide is to dehumanize and to put down and to destroy any feelings of accomplishment anyone might have.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, you look at the actions of governments, you look at what we're taught in school,
mm-hmm.
even the Chinese, what do they teach their children in school at an early age? In translated into English, it says, don't be the nail that sticks up out of the floor.
Mm, yeah.
Translation, you know, you're being walked on like everyone else, and don't stick your head up.
Because you're going to get hit.
That's right.
That's right. Well, that's true, and I've been told that myself, actually, as a warning, and I've, of course, ignored it, much like you have as well. But, you know, you're absolutely right on point. It is amazing and awful at the same time, because here... And I'll be honest with you, Ted, you know me, we've talked many times. You know, I grew up looking up at the stars. I grew up wanting to be an astronaut. Then I basically had a little dose of reality, and I found out what is the likelihood of me actually getting into space, slim to none, time to pursue a different dream. But as I got older and I started doing this kind of research and talking to people like yourself and reading your book, you know, it amazed me to the point where I realized that all of these things as a kid, when you're like, wow, someday they might discover some ancient artifacts, or they might discover some sort of ancient civilizations, or, you know, if not life itself, then the remnants of life, you know, on all these little planets. And then, you know, now I realize that they have. And there's been no fanfare. There's been no excitement. There's been no passion. Because, again, like you said, we have to be immersed in our own little world and our own problems. Think of how much nicer it would be to be able to have this sort of thing get covered on the news rather than Anna Nicole Smith.
Sure. I mean, where are we now? Okay. It's 2007, which you wouldn't know it. It could pass for 1977.
Well, except for the facial hair and the afros.
We're still building houses out of bricks and 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
We're still driving on oil, on tires made of, and so forth and so on with oil.
That's
true. I mean, and it's intended to stay that way because, you know, the bottom line is our society and culture is driven by the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's driven by money. And if it requires holding back the development and happiness of humankind in general, then they figure that's fine, that's all right. You know, the richies of the world, I mean, the really rich people, the richer than Gates and Buffett, there's a number of them out there, and you don't hear their names very often.
That's right, so rich that we don't know who they are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy named Cooper in England, incredibly wealthy guy, and he was going to buy a huge amount of platinum. Back in the 90s, there was one person between me and him, and I learned about the deal. It was over $1 trillion worth of platinum.
Oh, my God.
Sitting in a Swiss bank. And for like 3 years, he tried to do a deal. They kept wanting this document and that document. The same trick they do to small business people they don't really want to loan money to, but their credit's good and they can't turn them down, but they just decide they don't want us, so they keep sending them off to go do this and that until they finally give up.
More hoops, yeah.
Yeah. And at one point he got mad and he picked up a chair and threw it across the room and they kicked him out of the bank. And things cooled off and he went back and this went on and on and on. And finally, it came down, I found it from another source, that there's this something akin to a World Council on Metals, and they decided that he's got all the platinum he's ever going to have.
Wow.
Yeah, you see, there's always somebody higher up.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how rich you are, there's always somebody higher up. It's pretty incredible.
That is amazing.
And one of the things we need to talk about tonight is Windows Vista. Slightly different note here.
Okay.
Vista has been banned by the Department of Transportation because it crashes too much. That's pretty bad. I mean, you know, to get that kind of a medal, I mean, it's got to be bad.
That's true.
You know, Windows is everywhere in the government. I mean, it runs on everything, and but it has some major, major issues. Most system administrators, they won't touch it because it's bad. It's like version 1.0 of Windows way back in the 80s. You know, it was a disaster. And obviously Microsoft didn't learn anything out of that. They've just been churning out nothing but lousy software for 20, 30 years now.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, full of bugs, full of problems. Oh, you need an upgrade, and it goes on and on and on. Yeah, but anyway, just wanted to say to folks that might be contemplating getting a new machine, get XP Home or XP Pro put on it, don't get Vista. You can always put Vista on later.
Yeah. And your software doesn't work with the Vista program, does it? Your book.
Yeah, I have been told that there are some compatibility issues by the by some folks that are being worked on. You know, they're going to hammer that out, but it works fine on anything from 98 on up. All the versions like 98, you know, XP, XP Pro, you know, all those all work fine with it. So. And no one's had any problems.
It's wonderful. It's such a great book.
You stuff the disk in and it runs. You don't have to load anything. You don't install anything. It just runs all by itself.
Yeah, it's very easy to use, and it's exciting too to be able to see those pictures so big. And obviously, I could see that you obviously went and looked very closely at all these photographs because you see things that I probably would have glossed over. And we should talk about some of the things that were found. But let's go back a little bit. The first sort of aberration that the public had known about with Mars is the face. Now, I've heard that explained many, many different ways. I've heard it explained that it's simply just a bizarre rock formation taken from a certain angle. And as a result of that, if they were to photograph it now, it would look completely different. What are your thoughts on that, first of all?
Well, it's pretty interesting how much it changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the early images, it did resemble some sort of a ray structure, and then NASA's images released, oh, what is it, 5-8 years ago? Mm-hmm. I forget when they re-imaged it the mm-hmm. first time since the 76. The new images look like someone had bulldozed it and it was gone. You know, but of even more interest is that D&M pyramid nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really intriguing. And the fact that that sits at the same 19.47 degrees as the Giza pyramid on Earth does is
yeah.
really interesting.
It is interesting.
And it's beyond statistical coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, so, from what I've seen in the images, there are things littered all over the surface. I mean,
yes.
If our civilization was obliterated by an asteroid or something, I mean, there would be remnants everywhere.
Yes, it would be everywhere. You can't even just walk down a city street without seeing some trash, you know, in your line of sight. So,
that's
yeah.
right.
You take it and you annihilate all the buildings and all the things people own. You're absolutely right. It would be everywhere. And certainly... we've been told, that Mars has no atmosphere, that the sky is red, the ground is red.
Oh, yeah.
So without an atmosphere, of course, it's going to preserve everything. But then again, you have definitively proven otherwise. The fantastic stuff. Tell us about that photograph that actually shows the U.S. flag on the, I don't know what it was. Was it the one of the rovers?
It's, I believe it was Viking had the
mm-hmm.
flag.
Okay.
And this full-color flag is on the side of one of the housings, and the camera can pick it up. It's mounted on the top deck of the lander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they color-shifted the image so far to the red that the blue became purple, and the white was turning pink
mm-hmm.
on the flag because they had done the color-shifting to make Mars look red. Well, mm-hmm. when the picture is corrected... for true color, it looks just like a picture taken in the southwestern United States. The ground is tan-colored and the sky is unquestionably blue. And in other rover images, they did the very same thing again. Instead of the flag now, they have a color reference chart,
mm-hmm.
you know, with gray scales, and they have red, green, and blue squares on it. You can clearly see they did exactly the same thing again. And if you take these images and color correct them, again, it looks like the southwestern U.S. And I actually saw a NASA conference on their channel about three years ago. And a scientist said, when they were asked about the colors on Mars, he said an astoundingly stupid statement. He says, well, it's very hard to get those colors right on Mars. Well, anybody knows that's what a color reference chart is for. When the chart matches the chart you got in your hand on Earth, those colors are the colors. That's what they really are.
That's funny.
I mean, that's just basic color 101 for
yeah.
anybody in that profession. You know, I mean, but you see, they've got to keep that image going.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to believe it's red. You know, we've been hearing it's red all these years, so we got to make sure Mars looks red. There's actually a press conference. You have a picture of it. I think it's in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's like four or five people at the bottom of the screen, and up behind them is a TV projection from Mars, and it's got a blue sky.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that wasn't up there very long, and
yeah.
it was replaced with one with a red sky.
Can't shake the paradigm too much. It's really spectacular. But that I think that's a very, very important part. And also there's another thing that kind of ties in with that whole idea that we maybe don't have that there's no atmosphere on Mars. And that would be you have some pictures in your book of an image. It basically shows like a landscape and you can see the sky. And in the middle of the sky, all sorts of pixelation. Just everything's pixelated out. It's quite plainly not even an attempt at Photoshop. They just blanked it all out.
Yeah, and you see all this overlapping and
yes.
like copying, pasting was done like mad. But there was a lightning not electrical lightning, but a lightening mm-hmm. of the sky, which you see if you run it through a little bit of image processing, you find that there was a light area in that sky in the exact area in the middle of the image that they obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
So were there clouds there? Possibly so. We have these rovers. I have on the website, dataforscience.net, we have radio pictures. And you scroll down that page a little bit, and there's a picture of a dusty, dirty solar panel. And the time that the image was taken, 5 minutes later, the panel's all cleaned off in the next image. Who took off the dirt? Who did this? How did this happen? I mean...
Theories?
Well, you know, there's something very odd going on there. Mm-hmm. This planet with no atmosphere.
Yes.
You know, blowing the dust off. They've gotten images of these, what they call dust devils, traveling across the planet. Well, you can't get dust devils forming when there's no atmosphere.
Right. Exactly.
How does it work?
It's pretty spectacular. I mean, right then and there... just a little bit of, I guess, analysis, and certainly you sort of putting the taking the blinders off. People can see these things, and they look at it and say, well, you're right, the color is wrong, or you're right. You can't have clouds and dust devils without an atmosphere. Something is wrong with this picture. Folks, stay with us. We're back in three.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Good morning and welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. This hour is being brought to you by our good friends down at Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things that only Arkansas can offer you. Howard Creek Resort is a perfect family vacation spot any time of the year, and of course you get to see why I love this state so much. You can visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. And I urge you to consider them in the course of you planning any sort of summer vacation, family reunions, anything like that. It's a fantastic place. I mean, really just a wonderful location, and certainly I love being outside myself. And the pollen is not nearly as bad as here as it is in some places, so I'll keep that in mind, too. Let's get back to our guest here, Ted Tweetmeyer, author of the book, What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. And, folks, if you go to his website, which is www.data4science.net, dataforscience.net, or you can go to this website, bookonmars.info. You'll be able to see a lot of the pictures that we're discussing here this evening. And, again, the book itself available to you in a CD-ROM format for only $10. You can't beat that. Ted, welcome back.
Yeah, we're here.
Thank you again. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, you mentioned that this crater, which is where all of these photographs came from, correct?
Yes, well, yeah, from that and the rim around it, yes.
Okay. So, you know, 20,000 photographs you looked at, hundreds in the book, and really a relatively small area that was explored.
Yes, it really was, because the rovers can only move about 242 feet per day. So they crawl. I mean, little baby could outrun one of them, you know, on all fours.
Right.
But that's because they're solar powered. But The curious thing, these things only had at the outside a 6-month design life, because they figured by then the dust would be so great on the panels that they'd become non-functional. But the panels have been getting mysteriously clean now for about 3 years. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah, and so they're still functioning. In fact, NASA was faced with a problem that they rarely have, which is a project that actually lasts longer than it was designed to.
Yeah, that is a rarity there.
Yeah. I think the last time something like this happened was Voyager, which is still functioning out there in deep space because they have thermoelectric generators on them. And the signal now is they're just sending back star fields because there's nothing there. They've left the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And the signal is like, it's almost, it's even with the biggest dishes on Earth, the signal is so weak it's practically unreadable now.
Wow.
It's just like the levels of two different kinds of noise to get the data. That's how bad it is. So,
that's amazing.
But they're still functioning.
I mean,
and that thing had less intelligence than an Atari video game, you know?
Wow.
It was very, very rudimentary. Just a few thousand bytes of memory. That's all the thing had in it. And it had a tape deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
This shows you the kind of engineering that we used to be capable of in this country. When they got out toward the outer planets...
Going to have to hold this story over here,
yeah,
my friend.
Okay.
I apologize. Folks, Ted Tweetmeyer will be joining us here for the second hour of the program. We're very excited about that. And we'll continue this discussion when we come back in about 90 seconds as we pause for station identification. Please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.